This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry in for Tanzina Vega. And it's probably not surprising for you to learn that gun theft is a significant problem in this country. It is hard to determine exactly how many weapons are boosted each year, but at least one report from the FBI estimates 1.8 million firearms were stolen from individuals between the years 2012 and 2017. And the ATF estimates approximately 54,000 more were stolen from gun stores during that time period. It's a serious problem, and one that has prompted news you can use, local reporting, like this segment from CBS 46 in Atlanta last week.
There is a way to make sure a criminal doesn't end up with your gun. Don't leave it in your car.
If your firearm absolutely has to be inside of your vehicle, you want to invest in a lockbox or a safe. Tie it to the trunk, but do not leave a firearm inside your vehicle.
Okay, I'm not really sure what's going on with the morning commute in Atlanta that makes it absolutely necessary to keep a firearm in your car, but okay. Now that said, there is one place where it indisputably makes sense for us to keep weapons. Military bases. Marines have a pile of Colt 9mm? Cool. Navy has a room full of M16s. Seems fine. Marine locker with a M4 semi-automatic? Do you, son. The presence of heavy armaments is core to the very definition of the armed services, but what is surprising to learn is that the U.S. military may need a little refresher on gun safety, PSA style. Here's our old friend, McGruff the Crime Dog, back in 2014.
Never let your gun get into the wrong hands. If you own a firearm and are not using it, please be responsible and be sure that it's stored in a safe place.
It is, in fact, reasonable to assume military custody is a safe place for weapons. But a new investigation from the Associated Press found that around 1,900 military weapons were either lost or stolen during the past decade. That number includes more than 1,100 rifles, 694 handguns, 74 machine guns, and 34 rocket launchers. And once they're lost or stolen, these military weapons often resurface in places as close as Albany, New York, or as far away as Afghanistan. Sometimes being used to commit violent crimes. With 34 missing rocket launchers, I'm thinking we're going to need more than McGruff the Crime Dog. Joining me now, hopefully with the coordinates of these missing rocket launchers, is Kristen Hall, a reporter at the Associated Press and one of the journalists who broke the story. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Melissa.
So this is the first public accounting of its kind in decades. How did you and your team go about investigating this?
Well, it was very difficult, and it took us years to do. One reason for that is that the DOD and the military are not required to publicly report this information. That was the case at one point back in the early 90s, as we understand, they were required to report equipment losses to Congress on an annual basis. But when that requirement stopped, public accountability slipped, but that doesn't mean that, you know, incidents and losses didn't keep happening.
So when you all have found it through this difficult multi-year process that 1,900 U.S. military firearms were lost or stolen, are you confident that's the maximum number, or are you thinking that's probably an undercount?
We know that it's an undercount for a number of reasons. For instance, the Air Force gave us no data on how many firearms they have lost or have been stolen. The Army gave the AP a very clear undercount of data that didn't include things like major cases, open cases. And so the AP found internal memos that the Army produced that showed their count of weapons loss was many times higher than what they told the AP.
So what kinds of weapons are most likely to go missing?
Well, I mean, they're the workhorse weapons of the U.S. military. So they're rifles and pistols. These are, you know, they have several million weapons all across the globe. And a lot of these fit into those two categories.
Now, are people within the military themselves taking these? How are they getting out? How are they going missing?
Well, there's sometimes where we understand that insiders, people who work and have access to armories, warehouses, have been accused of taking weapons and weapons parts off post. Maybe they're selling them. Maybe they're making a new weapon out of weapons parts. But a lot of times it's unclear what happens. Records are destroyed, inventories are not taken in a proper way, and investigators are reaching dead ends.
So I suppose if all these weapons ended up in the same place that the left sock ends up after laundry, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But that's not what's happening, right? Where do these weapons end up?
Yeah, it is hard to trace where some of these weapons end up, but we have found a small number that ended up in violent crimes. For instance, we found a military pistol that was tied to four separate shootings in Albany, New York. What's interesting is that when police recovered this Beretta M9, the Army didn't even know that the gun was missing from Fort Bragg.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is just stunning to me. Living in North Carolina, not that far from Fort Bragg, having, friends and family in military, it's always been my experience that, soldiers and Navy folks and Marines, they are serious about weapon safety. This is truly a shocking story to me.
Yeah, I mean, certainly weapons security is drilled into troops from the moment they get into the service. And top military officials say, that it is a very high priority for them to take care of their weapons. But we just found some cases where, troops were sleeping on the job. There's shoddy record keeping, just it's a surveillance camera system that didn't work. And just security lapses.
So if there is meant to be an accountability space, where should the buck stop? Is it with those troops, often young men and women? If they're literally sleeping on the job, it might suggest something about their exhaustion. Or is there someone in the Pentagon who we ought to be holding accountable?
Well, I think transparency would help here in this situation. And, we have seen actually the reaction from Congress to this story was immediate. On Tuesday, Army Secretary Christine Wormuth was asked about whether she would be open to new oversight on weapons accountability. So I do think that having more information about how these cases occur could help solve some of the problems.
So speaking of solving some of the problems, does the military ever recover weapons that have been lost? Or once they're gone, are they just sort of gone forever?
No, they do recover. I mean, in the case of the Navy and Marines, they gave us good information and that included recoveries. So, and a lot of times a gun will go missing and it will immediately be found, within, 24 hours. But sometimes things go missing for several years.
Okay, so let's dig into that for just a second, because I do actually get, I'm disturbed by, but I can get how a handgun might go missing. But for real, grenade and rocket launchers? Now, I know that these are vanishingly small numbers, right? 34, 35 over the course of a decade. But still, I mean, you don't like accidentally leave your rocket launcher, like upstairs beside your bed. Where are the rocket launchers?
That's a good question. I don't know about that. I wish I did. Someone knows where they are.
Yeah, I really would like some. I mean, I'm sorry. I am not an alarmist, and I try very hard not to be an alarmist. But I will say that that kind of got to me in a particular way. And I suppose it shouldn't, because we do know that handguns are actually, the most sort of deadly weaponry for civilians. So can you talk to me about how this story of military loss of weapons is connected to sort of our broader guns conversation in this country?
Well, we're certainly not suggesting that the military's firearms, lost firearms, or somehow in, you know, contributing to an increase in gun violence. That's not what we're saying in this story. What we are saying is that a gun that belongs to the military can end up in the hand of felons, and we found several cases of that. So they can be used in crimes. These are weapons sometimes that civilians aren't meant to have. And when they're stolen, when they're taken from somewhere, when they're military property, you know, the people that are using them or want them or buy them are not on the up and up. I mean, we found a case in Fresno, California, where AK-74s were sold to a Fresno street gang. And several of those have not been recovered.
Talk to me also about how this might be not so much about guns, but also about reporting. So part of what I appreciate about what you said in this story is that it took years. It was you and colleagues doing this work. That is a fairly substantial investment of journalistic work, labor hours, to get government accountability, right? It is in certain ways the thing that American media was meant to be in our democracy. And that's happening at the same time that, for example, local papers are closing, and it's harder and harder to get exactly those kinds of reporting resources. Is there something about this story that also helps us understand the stories we may not even realize we're missing because of that sort of loss of reporting resources?
Well, I mean, I certainly, over the years that I was looking at this story or looking at this idea and trying to ask questions of the Army, you know, I got told no several times. You know, we're not going to give you that information. We're not going to give you these records. You know, I mean, that is frustrating. And there is a sense of like, oh, I'm just going to move on, you know. But I mean, to me, there's just a curiosity factor. You know, I was seeing these cases of troops getting arrested and stealing things. And I just, you know, knew that somebody had the answers. There's information. I mean, the military counts a lot of things, has a lot of things to count. So, you know, I think there's just a persistence there of saying, no, there is numbers, there are numbers that you can provide. And to me, I think there is there's a accountability to the public that needs to happen, because these weapons are not meant to be put on the streets or used in street crimes. They're meant to protect us.
Mm. Kristen Hall, I so appreciate that response. In many ways, it is journalism 101. I was curious, I was consistent, and I knew that data was out there, so I kept going until I got it. Kristen Hall is a reporter, and a good one, at the Associated Press. Kristen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Melissa.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.